Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Astoria's 200th birthday party continues with special bicentennial events happening this weekend during the 117th Astoria Regatta celebration. London-based John Jacob Astor VIII, Lord of Hever, will be an honored guest during the regatta parade, and our sister city, Waldorf, Germany, birthplace of Astoria's founder, John Jacob Astor, is sending a contingent, including their mayor, or burgomeister, Christina Staub. Today, Astoria Bicentennial Director Paulette Hankel-McCoy will give us all the details so we can take part in these once-in-a-lifetime historical events. Hi, Paulette.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for having me on the show.
Nice to have you. I know you're very busy these days.
Well, you know what? We all are, aren't we?
Yes, indeed. It's
it's
true.
It's a busy life in Astoria.
However, this year, 2011, has such special meaning. This is our 200th birthday. If it weren't for Astoria, the Northwest wouldn't be what it is.
Exactly. The map of the United States would have been slightly different. So, yes, we are gearing up for another big week of the Bicentennial Regatta. And the regatta is, like you said, 117th year. It is the oldest festival in the Pacific Northwest, which makes perfect sense since we are the oldest U.S. settlement west of the Rockies. We're going to have the oldest festival. It all ties in. But, yes, we are planning a great week here.
Well, today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
And so why don't we talk about some of the events?
Let's just talk about the schedule.
Sure.
Yes. Tonight, there's the Kitty Parade, Junior Parade, I should call it, the Kiwanis Junior Parade. That's downtown at 6 o'clock. So if you have some kids that want to be in that, that should be lots of fun. And
people, I think, can just show up. And
yes.
And then the parade is just right downtown on Commercial Street?
Yes, it is. Yes.
So hours for that?
They start lining up at 5:30. It starts at 6.
Okay.
Yes. So that's tonight. And then tomorrow night, we are going to find out who the queen of the regatta is. So that coronation, which is open to the public, but you need to have your regatta pin to get in.
Okay, and maybe we should talk about the regatta pin, because that is such a reasonable thing. You buy a regatta pin for, like, what is it, $10?
It's $10.
$10.
And it's a collectible pin because it has the Bicentennial logo and the regatta logo combined in this wonderful little pin. And you can buy those. There's several places in town that have on their, if they sell the button, they'll have something in their window. But I'll have to put a shameless plug to the Bicentennial store, because we have those. We have the buttons there.
And the Bicentennial store is located?
At the foot of 15th. That's 101 15th Street, the Old England Marine Street.
And you have all kinds of great Astoria.
Yeah, all kinds. What I tell people is that everything Astoria is there. So, but also you can get your regatta pin. So if you have your pin on, you get to come to the coronation, and that's 7 o'clock at the Liberty Theater Thursday night. And then Friday, there is, and that's an opportunity to see Lord and Lady Astor and the other contingent of Astors that are coming from New York.
Oh, you mean at the coronation?
Yes.
Okay, so they will be attending the coronation on Thursday night.
Yes, Lord Astor will actually crown the queen.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Yes, so that's an opportunity for people to say, yes, I saw Lord Astor and his wife, Lady Liz, and cousin Jacqueline. So there's the New York contingent that's coming and the British contingency. So we'll have, first time ever in Astoria, we will have descendants from both the New York and the British Astors.
And later in the program, we can talk about that, what happened, because obviously,
That whole thing. Yes. So then let's move to Friday. We will have another opportunity for people to see the Astors, and that will be at the rose planting and knighting ceremony at the Flavelle House, and that's at 3 o'clock, and that is open to the public.
And that's and what do you mean when you say rose planting and knighting ceremony?
That is kind of a surprise who will be knighted, so I can't tell you that. But the Rose Festival Rosarians come to this, and they have a special knighting ceremony that they do very, very rarely. I mean, it's a big honor to be part of the Rosarian, to be a knight, the Rosarians. So they'll be there, and that is in the Favelle Gardens outside.
Okay, and the public is invited. And again, once you purchase that regatta pin, you can go to all of these activities.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And there's And if you like softball, there's a softball tournament at 5 o'clock, and there's the classic sail on the Columbia River. This is all Friday. And then there's the Pirate's Den at the Moose Lodge for those that are so inclined to have a little bit of libation and food and fun. So that's Friday.
Okay, so there are several activities happening on Friday. And I know that there's a website, astoriaregatta.org, I believe it is.
Yes.
And you can go to that website and also find out all these details. But it's great to hear you tell us about these so we can ask questions here.
Sure.
All right. And so that's Friday.
And then Saturday, of course, is the Grand Land Parade. And that is sponsored by Lectro and, I believe, Sterling Bank. So that is going to be a phenomenal parade. So you want to line up for that. And the route of the parade is going to be slightly different this year. It's Exchange and Duane Street. It will not be going down Commercial.
And I know you changed that for a reason. So the flow of traffic can still happen on Commercial Street and Exchange and Duane.
Right. I believe that they did take it to City Council, and it was decided it was probably the best situation because, as we all know, Commercial is a highway. And it really bottlenecks Astoria on both ends when the parade is on that highway. So this will actually be better, and the parade's going to be longer and bigger, so don't miss out on that.
It's a great parade. This is going to be even the best.
So. Yes, get your spot early. So claim your spot early. You probably want to claim no later than 11 because the parade does start at 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the parade now we have these incredible, we have royalty.
Yes, we do. We're having the two younger sons, the Astor cousins, will be in the parade, and that's Charles Astor and Nicholas Astor Drexel, and those are cousins. One's from New York and one's from England, and they will be in the parade. And then Lord and Lady Astor and their daughter Olivia and their cousin Jacqueline will be in the grandstands watching.
Okay.
Yes. So.
All right.
We'll watch out for that. So that'll be fun. And then after the parade, there's jet ski races.
Wait. In the parade, are we having the Waldorf Germany?
Oh, yes.
The Burgermeister. Aren't they going to be in the parade too?
She is going to be in the parade. And I'm glad you reminded me about that because Waldorf is bringing 21 people from their home, the John Jacob Astor's birthplace. 21 people are coming. They are so excited about this celebration, and they just feel that they are a big part of Astoria's history, which they are, and they feel very connected, and it's going to be really fun to have them in town as well.
I met some German tourists here last year, and they were from Waldorf, and they said that there is a huge I don't know if it's a mural or there's some display, and it's all about Astoria, Oregon, right in the heart of Waldorf, Germany. There's a huge display of some sort which talks about Astoria, Oregon, with photographs and everything. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's great.
So we have nothing here about Waldorf. Maybe we need to do something about that. All right.
And so, I know they're also bringing an oak tree that they're going to plant at the high school.
Oh, to be dedicated in honor of our 200th birthday.
Yes.
That's great.
So that's nice.
They come bearing
trees.
Gifts.
Yes, they come bearing gifts. Trees are always great.
So after the parade.
Yeah, then there's jet ski races. Well, there's a salmon barbecue at 12th and Duane. And then there's jet ski races, 2 o'clock at the East Mooring Basin. And then there's, in the evening, if you like bowling, there's 6 o'clock, there's rock and bowl. And there's just all kinds of things going on, and I don't know if you want me to just keep talking about all the events or
we've just been talking about Saturday afternoon. Yeah. That's fine. And then, but there are a couple of pretty darn special events happening Saturday night, which would not normally happen if it were not the bicentennial year for Astoria.
That's right, and that is the bicentennial mayor's ball, and we still have tickets available for that, and it is Saturday night aboard the Portland Spirit. And we board at 6:30, but you need to have tickets in advance, so make sure we have enough food for everybody and gifts, because it is going to be a fabulous ball, and it's $200 a couple, which ties in with the 200 years. Or if you want to come alone and enjoy, it's $111 for a single. And you can get your tickets at the Bicentennial Store, and once again, that's at the foot of 15th Street, but you need to get those quickly because the ticket sales are, there's the ship has a capacity of just 450 people. So,
and you're almost sold out. But there are a few tickets left.
There are some tickets left.
There are a few tickets left. So check with the Bicentennial office.
Yeah, you can call over there too to see if there's some left. And that's 325-5889.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll leave that number here at the station after the program so that if you want to call in, you've missed any of this and you want information, you can call the KMUN radio station and we will have that information for you. Perfect. All right. So Saturday night, the Mayor's Ball on the Portland Spirit. And there's also KMUN is putting on a big party at the Astoria Event Center.
Oh, fun.
And that's going to be with all the DJs. And I mean, it's a party for the people. That's what they're calling it. And that's very exciting. And that's happening also on Saturday night. And then we can move to Sunday.
And then Sunday, there's a softball at 8 o'clock. And there's a pancake breakfast at the Yacht Club. And there's, of course, our wonderful Sunday market. And then there's a Reba McEntire concert. I'm sure you've all heard about it. That starts at 1 o'clock. And tickets are still available for that as well. There are some left. And that will be at Camp Rylia, and the doors open at 10 for that. So if you want more information about that, you can look on the website, too. It's rebaconcert.com.
I know that the Astoria Regatta Association really decided they wanted to have a big birthday bash. That's the whole theme of Regatta this year, is happy 200th birthday Astoria.
Exactly. And we're excited that people have, you know, really tied in their event or their organization has tied in their activity with the Bicentennial.
Now, there are three signature Bicentennial events. The first one has already happened, and that was the opening ceremony. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, that was fun. We had the tall ships that were sponsored by Bank of Astoria, and we had the Chinook Nation tribe, a big part of the opening event where they did a trade enactment with the ships. And we had, of course, the governor was here and our state senators were here, and it didn't rain. So that was good. And it was really a successful weekend. We had,
and that opening event was, when was that, Paulette?
That was May. It actually was a kickoff that was May 19th through the 21st. So we had pretty good weather. The weather held, and we had a great turnout, and we were very happy with that, especially the Heritage Fair, where we celebrated all the different cultural diversity of Astoria. It's 200 years. That was a really fun fair, and we had great entertainment, and it was really, really fun. It was a real good kickoff.
And there are still some exhibits up. I was at the Heritage Museum a few days ago, and if you don't know about Astoria and you just want to go in a very short period of time, see a great display, go to the Heritage Museum, because that will tell you all about the fur trading, John Jacob Astor, how this all happened. It'll take you right through it. It's a wonderful, really a wonderful exhibit.
It is.
And that'll give you everything you need to know about the founding of Astoria. And then you'll be curious and you'll want to know more about Astoria.
Yes. And also, if you love fine art and you know about Michael Foster's collection, there's beautiful collection of what he calls his favorite Astoria art from Astoria artists throughout history. He has quite a wonderful collection. And some of those artists are still around here.
Yes.
And they're in the show. Yes,
yeah,
so
the Heritage Museum is a great resource, and I think a lot of times local folks don't realize that. And I mean, the Flavelle House is stunning, and the Maritime Museum is world class. And here's our little Heritage Museum, and it is just a jewel.
It really is, and I think so many of us locals forget. We say, "Oh yeah, that's," and you really don't go there until you have somebody visiting. You have somebody at your house, and then you say, oh, let's go take them around. We take them to the column, you know, take them to Lewis and Clark, Fort Clatsop. And then we sometimes forget about the Heritage Museum, but it is, like Donna said, it really is a jewel.
It is.
Yeah.
Now, the last time the Astor family came was that for our...
They came in 1961 for the sesquicentennial, and that was Lord and Lady Astor and their son, John, who is now coming again 50 years later with his son and wife. So it's really fun. He hasn't been here since he was 14.
Well, that's great. That's yes. very exciting.
Yes,
it is. To have them come back. And I think, obviously, for those people who don't know the story of the Astor family, it's a fascinating one. They're a huge family in New York, and that's why you're saying that now the Astor family split off into two parts, and one is in London and the other is in New York.
Yes. And they'll both be here. Like I said earlier, this has never happened before. So it's really, we're making history as we go, of course. And Jacqueline Astor Drextel is the granddaughter of Colonel Astor, who died on the Titanic. So she is, you know, the direct line from Colonel Astor. And her, of course, her son, Nicholas, will be coming.
I know some people may know of the Astor family's generosity in the arts. I mean, because we would not have the Philharmonic, the ballet, so many things that they support.
The library
in New York.
Yes,
yes, exactly. Yes. And they've helped Astoria too.
Yes, they're very generous. They when they left in 1961, they actually left a gift of $100,000, and that's how we got our library. And in 1911, Colonel Astor was all set to come, and then for family reasons, he couldn't, but he sent a check for $10,000. So that's a lot of money in 1911. That was a lot of money.
And wasn't some of that money used for the column, the Astoria column?
Well, I was reading back on some of the articles there at the library, 1911, and they actually had this committee to decide where this $10,000 was going to go. And they thought, oh, we need to do a bust of John Jacob Astor. So that was on the list. And then someone on the committee wanted to do something similar to the Statue of Liberty in the Columbia River. They wanted to do a huge John Jacob Astor in the Liberty, Statue of John Jacob Astor in the Columbia River. And then someone else wanted a bust in the downtown square. And then John Jacob Astor was going to be part of the discussion. Excuse me, Colonel Astor was going to be part of the discussion. But as we know, he later died on the Titanic. So the money, it kind of became a little mystery exactly what they did with that. Mm-hmm. But I like to say that at the end of their celebration, they had about $6,000 left. So we could say that that was part of the Astor money to actually build to purchase the Coxcomb Hill land, and then to start the column, of course, later, 1926. So
it's wonderful that we've had an ongoing relationship with the descendants of our original founder. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today I have Astoria Bicentennial Director Paulette Hankel-McCoy in the studio. And we're talking about Astoria's 200th birthday party, which we had an opening celebration in May. And then this weekend is the regatta. The theme is Happy 200th Birthday Astoria. And Lord of Hever, John Jacob Astor VIII, will be here, as well as the Burgermeister of Waldorf, Germany, our sister city, along with other folks from that city as well. And then we have an upcoming homecoming event. So these are kind of the three big events. So now we're having our second big event this weekend. And then what's happening in September, Paulette?
Oh, September's going to be fun. And we are tying in, we're working with the Astoria High School athletic department because they're going to have their big home football game. And we're calling it the Super Homecoming. And that will kick off with, on Tuesday, the 13th, we'll have the opening of the fur trade encampment, which will be in historic Fort Stevens Park, and where we will have campers there, historic reenactors, in their camps. And the period is 1800 to 1840. So everything in their camp is from that era. So they can't have anything plastic or cell phones or anything like that. And it's going to be really fun because there'll be lots of opportunity for you to go out there. And it's free. You just have to pay for the parking at the park, which is just a couple dollars. And The park will be open to the public at, or the campsite will be open at 10 and close at 6. But there's opportunity for you to see a blacksmith, for candle making, and to see all kinds of, you know, tanning and all kinds of things that were going on during that era in the fur trade.
How will they have lights at night? Because there's the people who are in the fur trade reenactment camp, they're staying there.
Yes.
So they use candles for
They use light? Candles, and they have their campfires, and they cook on the campfires, and it's very authentic.
A real step back in time.
It really is.
And when is that? That's September?
That's September. It opens on the 13th, and it goes through that whole week through Sunday the 18th.
Okay.
And that's just one event.
Okay.
And then we're also... the Commercial Fishermen's Festival will be going on, and that's at Tongue Point, and that'll be the weekend. That'll be the 17th and the 18th. And we also have, there's more. We have things going on, like I said, the football game is Friday night. And then Saturday, the Coast Guard is putting on the 100-year anniversary of naval history. They're putting on a wonderful display of all kinds of things, either Coast Guard and Navy together, and they're going to have a pancake breakfast, and it's going to be, there are so many opportunities for people to do things on that whole week. And we will have a shuttle service, so if you park your car at the Coast Guard station, you can then hop on the bus and go to the fur trade encampment, and then you can get on the bus and go to the Commercial Fishermen's Festival. And those will be running. We'll have the route in the paper so you can see that. And that, of course, is next month, September. And also, Judy Collins is coming. We love Judy Collins.
To the Liberty Theater.
To the Liberty Theater. And she'll be performing two times. That'll be Saturday night. And then there's a matinee Sunday after the market closes. And that'll be at 4, Sunday market. Sounds like the stock market.
So that's the second weekend of September, I think. Is that the third weekend?
No,
of
I
September?
Think it's the third.
The third yes. weekend of September.
Yes.
Judy Collins. So you can get your tickets at the Liberty Theater box office, and that's a Saturday night concert and then a Sunday concert. So you've really wrapped a whole lot of events into one big weekend. I mean, mm-hmm. fur traders and all of that. And is that kind of what you look at as kind of maybe the final kind of signature event of the bicentennial?
Well, no, there's more, because there will be a New Year's Eve bash that the Historical Society is going to put on. So there'll be a New Year's Eve dinner to the final bicentennial event of the year will be on December 31st. So that more details, we'll talk about that maybe sure. at another show.
And also, you know, people, even though let's say you've, because I know you've had your hands full organizing all of these events, but lots of local folks have decided to just say, we're going to do something in honor of Estuary's 200th birthday. And there's actually going to be a timber festival the second weekend of October. The first ever Estuary Timber Festival happening out at the fairgrounds. And they're just going to say, happy birthday in honor of our 200 years of, you know, timber and fishing.
That's perfect.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
So I think it's really inspiring people to think about, what can we celebrate about our history here? What are the resources? What do we, you know, and how can we honor that?
That I mean, yeah, that's
and then
wonderful.
Don't you feel like it's a little bit like a snowball that's been catching?
Yes, and of course, all the like I said before, all the regular festivals that have been going on for years, like the Crab Festival, the Scandinavian Festival, and the Great Columbia Crossing walk and race, that's all part of this bicentennial, because it's all during this year. And
there have been lots of books and films that have been created because of the bicentennial that were never here before because of this birthday. Now, there's a curriculum for the fourth grade.
Yes, written by John Gutenberger, and it's been so successful. John got a whole bunch of letters from fourth grade students thanking him for writing the book. It was just really great. I mean, it was really cute photos and pictures thanking him for doing that. And the artist, Roger McKay, also got some thank yous. And the editor, Betsy Ellerbrook, also got thank yous from all these kids. And so they really, really appreciated the book. And that was a great legacy, one of the legacy projects, along with a film that we did, a documentary, an adventure in history, a 20-minute film, and all the planting of the 200 trees is another gift.
And Shively Fountain.
Shively Fountain dedication was another event that we had during the opening, and that was sponsored by Pacific Power. And there's so many things that have gone on, and it's this is now the big week of regatta. So we hope that you can all get out and have some fun and celebrate.
Well, it sounds to me like more and more people are aware of Astoria's significance on the world stage, the role it really played in the events of, you know, on the westward expansion of the United States. And I know that there's a lot more press, a lot more, oh, I've been hearing so much about Astoria and you're 200 years old and there's kind of a renaissance going on in your community. And I think that a lot of what people love, too, is the fact that some of the same traditional things that were going on 200 years ago, we still have them in some form here. And it's this kind of diversity and this juxtaposition of the old and the new that really gives Astoria its character and flavor.
That's exactly right. We still have the fishing.
Yes, we do. And salmon. Salmon is huge. And, you know, and we have a float that has been winning awards. It's going to be in the regatta this weekend.
This float, I think, has captured awards at every single parade that they have gone to. And it's just phenomenal. Wait till you see it if you haven't seen it already. I know there's been pictures of it in the paper because of all the awards they won. But it's got the column. It's got Fort Clatsop. It's got the bridge. It's got the trolley. And it is so well done. It is very well done. It's lots of fun to see that.
Paulette, you grew up here. Your mother, Evelyn Hankel, who is just an amazing person, was a teacher for many years, and people know her and love her. And so you've really been living and breathing this Astoria history and this for several years now, as you've been preparing for all of these events, which are now coming to fruition. What have you learned that has surprised you, that things that you perhaps didn't even know?
Oh my gosh, I've learned so much. When I first got the job 4 years ago, I really wanted to dig in and learn more about our history. So I just started reading everything that I could. And the book that's been my favorite is The Astorian Empire by James Rhonda. So, and I've read all the journals. I have learned so much about the history and what the people were, how their struggle was here 200 years ago. It was just amazing what they went through, trying to clear the land. They didn't know how to, and they were surviving on the fish and berries and getting sick. And that amazing, amazing strength that they had to build the fort and all of that. So I have learned a lot, and I'm very excited about this week and hope to see everybody.
Well, Astorians are known for their character, their sisu, which yes. is, you know, that fortitude. And so, Paulette, thank you so much for all of the work that you've done, and Mac Burns at the Historical Society, and
all the volunteers
that have made this happen. So we do have a lot to be proud of and to celebrate this weekend. So whether you are an Astorian by birth or whether you are an Astorian by choice, come out and celebrate this weekend. And tip your hat to Lord Astor and to the Burgermeister from Waldorf, Germany. And if you want more information about this, I will leave that information here at the station, and you can call after the program. Thanks so much for being here today, Paulette.
Thank you, Donna.
And we'll talk more about the Super Homecoming when you come back before that event.
I would love it.
Thanks, all of you, for listening to Talk of Our Towns, which airs each Wednesday morning. And I also want to thank Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things, and that'll expand them. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.